Chapter 7. Unwanted. After several hours of sleep, I had completely unpacked and ironed my green pencil skirt and a white button-down. Finn knocked on the door just as I was slipping on my heels. He said the lunch would be casual, but I felt the need to go beyond jeans for my first meeting. I knew it was a chilly day outside, so I pulled out my raincoat. I failed to leave enough time for fully dealing with my hair, so I settled on a wavy ponytail. "Hi, sorry, I was in the bathroom getting ready." I'd run to the door as fast as my heels would carry me to see him. He stood in the doorway wearing jeans and a gray sweater. He'd showered and shaved. After admiring his fresh appearance, I noticed his expression was quite serious. "What? Something's wrong." I glanced at myself first to see if anything about me could have caused it. Nope, that was something more than being overdressed. "Tell me," I pleaded. "Plans have changed. I wanted to give you more time, but I think it's better to get everything out in the open with you meeting everyone." He said his jaw and seemed to will himself to appear more relaxed. I, on the other hand, felt my cheeks flush with nervous anticipation. The idea of meeting people slowly had been a comforting one, especially considering Two didn't particularly want me there. "Do you mean I'm meeting everyone now?" "Yes, if you think you can handle it." Concern rang through his voice, but he appeared set in his decision. If he believed it was best, I'd have to agree. "Yes, I can handle it. Where are we going?" I stepped back toward my purse and coat, trying to put on a brave expression. "Nowhere. They're coming to you." Finn stepped inside and closed the door, walking over to me and taking both my hands in his. "Every one of us is a part of this. So before you get too far in, it's only fair to let you meet us and decide if you want to know more. Plus, you wanted assurances. Ari's coming to give them to you. Beyond this meeting, what you choose to do is up to you. We've all agreed to help. We met earlier and Ari advised this is the best way. I have to admit he's right." He dropped one of my hands and led me over to the couches in the sitting room. "I thought you weren't really close to him right now, though." "He's responsible, so I'm listening." He walked to the window overlooking Albemarle Street, awaiting their arrival. I sat quietly, focusing on my threat level. Everyone was coming here, which seemed easier than going to another new place. They wanted to talk it out, so that meant I would get some information. That was good. The majority of them wanted me here. That felt even better. It didn't make much sense. It would fly me out and put me in a suite to kill me. All in all, I was proud of myself for feeling so confident. "They're here. You good, or are you going to make a break for it?" Finn turned from the window and looked over at me with a slight smile. I did my best to assure him I was brave enough. "Sure, you're here and they're friends, right? What's there to worry about?" I stood up and began straightening my skirt. Two knocks and my stomach jumped up into the back of my throat. So much for bravery. Finn walked through the entryway and opened the door. I could hear different voices greeting him. He directed them to where I stood. Before I could adopt a less tense expression, a bronze-colored flash turned the corner and grabbed me around the waist, practically knocking me over. Her full head of curls came up to just below my shoulders. I instinctually hugged her back, understanding she must be Bounce. After a moment, while still hugging me, she turned her face up to me, her eyes full of tears. "Hi, sorry, but it's been a while." She choked on her words and closed her eyes, letting a few more tears fall. She squeezed me tighter, and my eyes filled automatically. There was no denying this person had loved me and felt my loss. I was sorry for causing someone such pain. "I'm guessing you're Bounce. I would say it's nice to meet you, but... well, I look forward to getting to know you again." I wasn't sure the proper way to greet everyone, so that seemed to be the most polite. She giggled a bit and stepped back to look at me. She was still emotional, but smiling the brightest smile I'd ever seen. She was lovely, an angelic face surrounded by a mop of amber-colored curls and luminous brown skin. She was a few inches shorter than me with an athletic frame. Her baggy sweater and full khaki pants covered up any possible curves. Her warm eyes and open expression made me like her immediately, as Finn predicted. A young man approached us and took Bounce's hand. "Evie, you look incredible. We're so happy you've returned to us." He had a clear Bahamian accent, and I knew from Finn's description he was the whiz kid. "Brinks, right? Thank you. It feels good to be here." I smiled at him and we shook hands. Then he pushed past Bounce and hugged me as well. He had a much darker complexion than Bounce and very clean cut. His soft features, wire-rimmed glasses, and rugby shirt made him look just like another college kid. He ended our embrace and straightened. Both Bounce and Brinks stared expectantly past me to the only other new person in the room. I followed their eyes. Raven stood just inside the sitting area past Finn. She couldn't be anyone but Raven, and was the most beautiful woman I'd ever seen up close. Her hair was long, smooth, and coffee brown. She stood tall and poised with the shape of a goddess. Her black knit dress hugged her amazing body like she'd been stitched into it. She was smiling, but didn't erase the rising tension I felt between us. "You must be Raven." I greeted her, unable to read her expression. Moving closer to her, I could see her debate if she should do the same. Her smile deepened, and she said, "Well, seeing is believing. I'm glad you're alive, Evelyn. We used to have fun, you and I." She stepped forward and held her hand out to shake mine. She spoke with a thick accent, making her even more exotic. An embarrassment of riches, as my mother would say. We shook hands, and then she placed her other hand over mine, her copper eyes gleaming. Perhaps we weren't best friends, but there was something there. After a moment, Raven let go and looked back over to Finn. He inclined his head in response. Maybe he had asked her to be on her best behavior. She glanced briefly back at me and then walked over to the windows. My hands were trembling, but it felt good to have the introductions over with. Before I sat, as Finn suggested, I needed a drink. "Would anyone like some vodka?" I moved toward Raven and the bar. Just as I finished my pour, she shifted the direction of her stare, spotting something of interest. "Here's Batman." She smiled as she looked out the window. I strained to see beside her. An obsidian black sports car roared to a stop directly below us. A tall man with the same color hair and brown suede coat stepped out, handing the keys to a valet. He moved with purpose. I didn't see his face. The car did resemble the Batmobile, but only in the abstract. It was far less flamboyant, more like a panther than a peacock. Raven turned to meet my gaze, searching my eyes. Whatever she saw in them seemed to satisfy her, and she moved toward the others. I took a steadying swig of the vodka and walked over in front of the couches. Finn waited to meet Ari at the door. The happy reunion atmosphere of the room was replaced with palpable tension. I felt my cheeks flame from nervousness. Evidently, the conversation with Ari was what everything hinged on. They were all waiting quietly for his appearance. Finn opened the door as he heard Ari approach. He walked past Finn, never slowing, and came to a stop in the center of the room. Ari stood before me without acknowledging the rest of the group. I inhaled deeply, like I'd forgotten to take a breath. He was startling in appearance, with lightly blushed, fair skin, wavy hair and dark eyes. Physically sleek like his car, but with an air of elegance that was almost aristocratic. He silently regarded me. There was no hint of emotion in him. He appeared more like someone preparing for a speech he'd delivered 1,000 times, as opposed to greeting a friend. After what felt like days, he grinned slightly.